Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of It's Brewing at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino, and today I'm joined by two of my co-hosts, Matthew Giardino and John Kaplan. We're also joined by a couple of special guests, USF baseball senior infielders, Brad Keylori and Sebastian Greco. These are two guys who are originally from the Tampa Bay area. Brad Key played at Jesuit. Sebastian played at Gaither. But they had an interesting path here. They made several collegiate stops before coming to USF for this season to finish their careers. Brad Key is the everyday shortstop for the Bulls. He's been a vacuum cleaner in the six hole for this team. Many highlight reel plays and a strong 976 fielding percentage at a really tough position. Sebastian is the Bulls' everyday first baseman, and he leads the team in home runs with 10, which also puts him second in the conference. He was also just named to the AAC Weekly Honor Roll. So it's awesome to have these two guys on the show today. Guys, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. You know, appreciate you guys having us on today.
Awesome.
Yeah, same. Doing great. Thank you, guys.
For sure.
Excited.
For sure.
Awesome. So as Mark mentioned previously, you both are originally from the area and are home for your senior years. What has that been like? Are either of you all living at home for this season, or are you guys living on campus?
Yeah, so I've been living at home, so it's been nice back with the family. You know, I live about 15 to 20 minutes away, so it's been awesome.
I got an apartment up close to campus, but my family's pretty close, so I've been going back a lot and hanging out with them, and it's been really good spending time with them too.
That's awesome. And for you, Sebastian, I'm sure you're eating some good homemade meals every night, huh?
Yeah, for sure. It's always nice to come home after a game and have a meal waiting for you. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And for you, Bracky, what's it like being back home? I know you spent last season in Tennessee. Florida and their weather is a lot different than Tennessee. Obviously, you know that growing up here. But how's it to be back in Florida?
Yeah, it's nice. It's really good to be back home. We got a little taste of that Tennessee weather this past weekend, but it's good to be back. Definitely super close to family. I mean, family, friends, all my high school friends are still here too. But yeah, it's been awesome to be back. I'm super happy to be here too.
Yeah, we were watching the game on Sunday, and you guys look like you're definitely pretty cold over there. Glad we got
Yeah, I
to
think it
watch
was
that one
about
on TV.
50 and raining.
That's never fun.
No, it was fun though. It was all right. Got through it.
We know a bit about cold weather up here in Ohio, fellas, and I know you guys don't envy me at all right now. It's it's like a cold front, 32 degrees right now out of nowhere after a heat wave. But anyways, now we're here in 2025. You guys are both having great seasons. The team just won the series at Memphis to go 7-2 in conference overall, and then we lost a close game against Stetson. Overall, you guys are tied for first in the conference with UTSA. What do you think has helped the team have the success it's had this year, and how do you all keep it going?
Yeah, I'll take this one. I think it's kind of like, you know, Coach Hannah said early in the year, you know, we got to show up to practice, Matt. And I think as you guys have heard, and I mean, I know some of you guys came out to our practices and were able to watch. I mean, we practice just as hard as any team in the country. So I think it's every day showing up, putting in the work. So then when the game comes around, we can kind of just play free. So I think you're starting to see some of that hard work, even going back into the fall, starting to pay off now.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I piggyback off that. I mean, I think also we're starting to gel a little bit better as a team now. And everyone's kind of learning each other's game and kind of playing off each other more. And I think once we got to conference, that's why we're starting to take off a little bit now, is we're all just really – we all have each other's back. And I think that's been the biggest factor in us going through it here now.
Yeah, we've definitely seen a ramp up during conference play. And one thing that stuck with me that Coach Hanna said early on in one of our interviews is playing for the guys on your island. You know, I really appreciate all the culture he's bringing into Tampa, and it's really starting to show on the field. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, I'll kick it to our next segment. Wanted to talk a little bit about each of your journeys to USF. Both have very interesting stories of how you got here. I'll start with Bradkey. So Bradkey, you played for Jesuit here in Tampa. Where your team's had a lot of success. I think when you were a sophomore, you guys were state champs. Seniors, you got close. And I heard your junior year team probably would have done it, but you had COVID happen.
Yeah, we were pretty
And
good.
and then so you end up at Wabash Valley College in Illinois. It's actually on the border of Illinois and Indiana. Out of all places, how did you end up there? And I'm just curious too, like, it is pretty close to Indiana State. Was there already a connection with Hannah's? Was he on your radar, or you were in his radar?
Okay, I'll start with how I ended up there.
Yeah.
I was pretty unrecruited out of high school. I only had two offers at the time, one being Wabash Valley, and the other was another junior college in Florida. And I went on a visit there, and the coaching staff there just sold me, and they had an awesome track record of getting guys to high level Division I schools, and that was where I saw myself going, and ended up deciding to get away from home a little bit and go up there, and ended up learning a lot about myself. It was, I mean, a good experience all in all. It was definitely different, but it was good. And got to play in a different part of the country, travel a little bit, which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, that's how I ended up there. And I didn't have a relationship with Hannah's then, but I'm pretty sure he saw me play a couple times, but I never got to speak with him. But Coach Bowers was a head coach at Lincoln Trail, which was a team in our conference. So I played against them a couple times. So I guess me and him kind of had a little relationship there. We never really talked, but definitely got to play against them a couple times, and hopefully gave him a couple headaches. But that's where, I guess that's the first time I really came in contact with them.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering how you end up in Illinois, but if they have a good vision for you and you believed in it and it paid off. I mean, you put up big numbers while you were there. And those big numbers actually gave you the opportunity to move on to the College of Central Florida, another JUCO here in Florida, just maybe an hour from Tampa up in Ocala. It's actually where Matt and I got our associate's degrees. So we're familiar with
Nice.
it. Yeah. So yeah, you were a key player on that team. I mean, you were the everyday shortstop. You had 10 plus home runs. Well, how did you end up there from Wabash? And what was that season like?
Yeah, so there was a coaching change up at Wabash, so I ended up deciding to leave and wanted to come back a little closer to home. I actually got recruited a little bit by the head coach at Central Florida in high school, but it didn't work out. I really wanted to go there. I loved it there. So when the opportunity kind of came back up, I was super excited, and I was all in and was super excited to go there. And it was one of the most fun times I've had in my college career. It was one of the best decisions I've made, and I'm super glad that I went there. And yeah, we won a national championship, which is pretty cool. And I mean, I'll have memories with those guys forever. And Coach Marty Smith is amazing. What he's doing over there is awesome. He's built a winning program over there, and it's just one of the best programs in the state and in the country.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to go to Colorado, is it, for the JUCO World Series? What is it
Yep.
like? What is it like up there?
Pretty cool. Ball flies. It's fun.
Oh, that's
But
awesome.
yeah, they got, I think, I don't know if they still use it, but it used to be an affiliate of the Rockies. I'm pretty sure they still do. That's one of the Rockies affiliate stadium that I don't know holds 15,000 or so, and the people in that town love that tournament. So pretty much every game that we were at was sold out, and it was really the first time I played in front of a super big crowd. So that was a lot of fun, and yeah, I mean, obviously, we were very talented and ended up winning the whole thing, and it was just an awesome experience.
That's awesome, man. And something about you and national championships, I guess, because the next season you end up at Tennessee, and you guys win a national championship there. And I mean, I know that you were not an everyday player there, but you actually did get, some playing time. I mean, I think you had 40, 30 something at bats, and you contributed to that national championship team. talk a little bit about your Tennessee experience.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it there too. Coaching staff there is great. I learned a ton from some of the best, and it was very good for me as a player to be around guys like that on the team and coaches as well, because I mean, when you're around the best, your game elevates. So I saw myself grow a lot. And obviously, yes, it was tough not playing all the time, but I mean, some of those guys, just being around them, it was awesome to watch and awesome to be a part of. And yeah, I mean, Omaha was pretty cool, but it was a very big learning experience for me as a player, because I've never really been on the sideline until then. But I mean, taught me a ton about just always being ready to go. Sometimes we get a spot start every now and then, and I'd have to be ready. So I learned a lot then. Definitely enjoyed it, and yeah, and winning a national championship like 2 years in a row is pretty cool.
Yeah, we would love for you to continue that trend here. We
Yeah,
would
me too.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, there's championships to win regardless. I mean, the AAC championship would be awesome. Winning a regional championship would be awesome, and then after that, anything's possible. So, I did want to ask you quickly, you got to play for Tony Vitello. I mean, he's kind of one of the most famous coaches in college baseball. He's won a Natty. What makes him such a good coach?
I mean, he's just his passion for the game and just being around the guys. And I mean, it's kind of hard to put into words how much he loved us and loved being around us and how much he was willing to do for us. And I mean, looking back now, I mean, almost hard to see in the moment, but he's just one of those ride or die coaches. Like, he has your back all the time, no matter what. And I think that's why everyone believes in him.
That's awesome.
And I mean, it's just awesome to play for him. Probably not the most fun to play against, but definitely a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Nice. And my last thing for you, this is the capstone of your career here. You're at USF. You're in your hometown again. Why did you decide to come to USF? What have you taken from those experiences, of those championships to your time at USF?
After the year I decided to enter a portal, and Coach Hannes, I think, was the first coach that I talked to, and I would just really believed in what he wanted to do down here. Obviously, he has a great track record of what he did at Indiana State, and I mean, I wanted to come here to win, so I really believe in what he has going on here, and I mean, obviously being close to home was great, but what really sold me was Coach Hannes, and yeah, I mean, he's done a great job so far, and we're looking to keep going.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And like coming out of like high school, like growing up, like was USF kind of like on your radar as like something you would have liked to have if you had the opportunity at the moment then?
Yeah, I think that would have been super cool to stay in town, but yeah, I just never really got much attention from them, which it is what it is, but happy to be here now.
Absolutely. And we're really glad to have you. Awesome, man. Cool. Well, thanks for that. I'll kick it to John, and he'll do that with Sebastian.
All right, Sebastian. You played for Gaither in Tampa, another successful program. Spent your first 2 years at Coastal Alabama Community College, the following year at Eastern Kentucky University, and 2 years at FAMU. What stands out from your journey, and are there any key le what key le lessons did you learn along the way that are helping you currently at USF?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, it's a long journey to get here, but I think kind of piggybacking off of what Bradkey said, like, I wasn't always an everyday guy, so it's one of those things where you always have to be ready, always put in the work behind the scenes, so then when you do get your chance, you're ready for it. So I think that's been huge for me. Definitely learn a little bit from every stop, from Gaither, Coastal Alabama, Eastern Kentucky, then the past 2 years at FAMU. I felt like every single year there's been, a couple of different things that I've learned that has helped me kind of put everything together this year.
That's awesome. Yeah, one thing that I've grown to appreciate about your game is you always seem ready for that moment, dude. So I think it's definitely paying dividend now. One of my favorite stories is the story about how you came to USF. As Coach Hannes said in the article by Tom Leiberger and on our podcast as well, he said he kind of slow played you a bit and wanted to see how bad you really wanted to be here. He also mentioned your persistence. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and what was it that made you want to be here so bad? And lastly, what did you do to make sure that you got that spot?
Yeah, so I mean it's a crazy story looking back at it. So obviously, I finished last year at FAMU, had a pretty good season, still had that 1 year of eligibility remaining. So I knew I wanted to go to a little bit bigger school, be on a bigger stage for my last year. So I entered the transfer portal, heard from a couple of different bigger schools that I was interested in. But growing up in Tampa, it's always been my dream to play at USF. But at the time, they were going through the coaching change. I didn't really know what was going on over here. And then I finally just saw a post one day that said, they hired Coach Hannes. And so I asked around, like, honestly, every coach I knew, everybody I played for, does anybody know? And does anybody, have direct contact with them to where they could, reach out on my behalf? But nobody that I knew, had it. So one day I got done working out and drove by USF. Like I said, I'm 15 minutes away, came over and came to the front desk and isolated. I was like, I'm here to meet with Coach Hannes. And she asked me, like, oh, is he expecting you? So I just kind of lied to her and I was like, yeah, he's expecting me. So she scanned me up, walked into his office. He was meeting with someone at the time, so waited outside. That meeting got done. I kind of just walked in, introduced myself, told him, a little bit about myself. And I think because we had played Indiana State at FAMU, so he didn't really recognize me right away. But I think as we got to talking, he kind of put the picture together, and so we started talking, and he was honest with me. He's like, look, it's late in the cycle. I've already given out all of our scholarship money, all our NIL money. But he's like, if you want an opportunity, you can come. So I had, like I said, I was still talking to a few different schools, but once he said that, I was pretty set on coming to USF. So, anyways, we had a little meeting, got to speak with him a little bit, and couple of days later, called him on the phone and told him I was coming. So he said there's an opportunity, you can work to win a starting job. And like I said, that's all I wanted was just to have a fair shot at winning a job. And he said that was how this program is going to be run. He was going to play the best guys, no matter if you're on scholarship or not. So, I took his word for it, and it ended up working out.
That's a pretty crazy story, honestly. I mean, especially now considering, how well you've done this season and to see how that all unfolded, that's incredible. One thing that really stands out to me, from watching both you guys, we all watch every game, is just the overall, not only the offensive prowess that you guys have, but also your guys' defense as well. I think personally, besides like the home runs and stuff, one of my favorite things is seeing Bradke go to his left and make a crazy diving catch, and then seeing you, Sebastian, with the big stretch and get that pick is awesome. I just love watching that. But we have some observations from watching you all play and wanted to talk a little bit about each of your games, and I'll start with Bradke. Bradke, we love watching your play on defense. You've been rock solid at shortstop all year. What's your mindset like in the field? Can you walk us through what you're thinking as the count or situation changes?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, thank you. But we do a pretty extensive scouting report before the game on whoever we play. Coach Schaefer and Coach Cates do a great job putting us, like, we have like little defense cards together, where we'll see like positioning wise on where to play certain guys. But a lot of it is just like live reads. I mean, seeing, like, putting together what you see during the game, who's on the mound, like reading swings, reading timing, everything like that kind of gives me a little edge on getting some more range out there. So, like, for example, I don't know, you can see guys a little late on the pitch, like, you can kind of cheat a step or so. And then a lot of guys that have better command out there, if they're throwing fastball away, for example, or something like that. Like sometimes I'll cheat a step with my pre-pitch and try to kind of get a little head start on where I think the ball's going to end up. And most of the time it works great and helps me get a little more little range out there, which I guess is pretty crucial in making some of those rangy plays. But yeah, I mean, definitely count is a big factor too. I mean, as a hitter, you know, you're in a 2-0-3-1 count, you're trying to let one loose and kind of get some of the pull side. So playing a little more pull on counts and stuff like that helps a ton. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, I guess.
No, that makes a lot of sense, and you could see, all that go into how you play in the field. And to be honest with you, I've seen thousands of baseball games. I would say you're probably one of the rangiest fielders that I've ever personally seen. So,
Appreciate it.
it's always really exciting to watch, and we appreciate the work you do out there.
Thank you. Yeah.
Cool. So, and then Sebastian, you've been a great hitter your whole career, but you've taken it to another level this season. Can you talk us through your approach at the plate? How does your mindset change from 0-0 in the count to advantage counts to, when you're behind in the count?
Yeah, as Racky said, on the hitting side too, we do a lot of advanced scouting before the game. So depending, on who's pitching that night, we have it's like a detailed chart. I mean, you can see pretty much every count what these pitchers throw. So it kind of depends pitcher to pitcher, but obviously advantage counts, trying to get a pitch you can drive, when you fall behind, open up the field a little bit, really focusing on hitting a line drive somewhere. But Coach Peters has done a great job. I mean, we have a chart. We just have a ton of information going into the game. So you have a pretty good idea of how each hitter is trying to attack you. It's different if you're a left-handed hitter versus right-handed hitter. So obviously I get to look at the left-handed hitter charts. We can even see what they've thrown guys, and if they're hitting three hole on another team, how they attack that hitter. So I would say most of the work goes in before the game. So then once you get in the game, you already have an idea of how each pitcher is going to attack you.
That's really interesting to hear how detailed it gets, and even considering, where you hit in the lineup and what the counts are, how the all that stuff is charted is pretty crazy. One thing that Marcus and Jackson mentioned on our last podcast was how the iPitch machine helps them a lot. Is this your first year working with that machine too, or how has it helped you this season?
Yeah, this is definitely been my first year using it. It was, I'll be honest with you, like Marcus and Jackson said, like it's tough to hit off of. I remember in the fall, like my first few times hitting off of it. I mean, I don't even think I put a ball in play, to be honest with you. So it's kind of one of those things that takes a little bit to really be able to hit off of it, but it's definitely, one of those things that can help you in the game. They're able to simulate the exact spin rate, every single pitch the guy that night is going to throw. So it's good to get in the cage, whether it's, the day before or the week leading up to it. You can see the exact fastball he's going to throw, the exact curveball, any pitch he has, you can kind of dial it in. So you have an idea of what you're going to face before you even get into the box that night. So that's definitely helped us for sure.
You guys ever and John will appreciate this one. Do you guys ever set it to like the Nolan Ryan pitch setting where it's just like throwing 104?
There's
Feels
a
like
few days they've dialed it up. I
it.
think Racky can tell you about that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time that pitch is way nastier than whatever we see that day anyway. So kind of makes it easier.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I wanted to also ask you guys, you guys have some dependency on each other in the field, being that Sebastian's at first and Racky's at shortstop. Some of your highlight reel plays were helped out because, Sebastian will make a great pick or a stretch. How do you guys feed off each other in the field? How high is the level of trust, Bradkey, knowing that you have Sebastian over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. We're always talking out there, always trying to keep each other locked in, everyone else too. But I mean, there's been countless times this year where he's made an awesome pick on a play I made, even routine plays that get away from me sometimes. But he's helped me out a ton. And yeah, I mean, don't think I could have done it without him so far. So really grateful for him over there. And yeah, he's definitely helped me out a time or two.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. We see how you guys are both making a good play on the same play. Sebastian, like as a first baseman, do you kind of get fired up when you see your shortstop go in the hole like that and you're like, damn, like I really need to pick this ball or secure this out?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as you guys seen, Bracky's been incredible this year. There's been a couple of times like balls have been smoked up the middle, and I'm about to run out to be the cutoff for center fielder, and then I look over and see him coming out of nowhere making the play. So it's been awesome. I mean, anything hit that way, like I know now, like I got to be ready at first because not many balls get by him at short. So it's been awesome to watch him this season. And yeah, it's definitely awesome when he makes one of those highlight reel plays, and I'm able to help him out with the scoop at first.
Yeah, that's really cool. Nice. I'll kick it to John for our next segment here. Gonna do some locker room kind of off the field stuff.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up with a fun segment here. Try to let us and the fans get to know each of y'all a little bit better. I've got six rapid fire questions. Y'all can each say your answers, and after we're done, we can all kind of take a deeper dive into some of the answers that we thought were most entertaining. So first of all, or first off, we'll go with what is your favorite hobby off of the baseball field? Sebastian, you can lead.
Mine's definitely fishing.
Freshwater or saltwater?
Like,
I do freshwater. A lot of ponds around here.
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big golf guy. Fishing too, but.
All right. Two things close to my heart there. All right. So, what teammate has the best walk-up song this season? It can be a pitcher or a hitter, and which teammate has the worst?
I'm gonna go for the best. I'm gonna go Ryan Pruitt, Unwritten. It's a unique walk-up song, but every time I hear him coming up, I feel like the crowd gets into it. So that's definitely a good one. As far as the worst one, I'm about to think on that one. Come back to me.
Right.
I'm gonna go. My best one, I think I'm gonna go James Hill with Iron Man by Black Sabbath, and just because I think it's kind of funny, it fits him too. And worst one, I'm gonna go Matt Rose for sure.
Yeah, I think that might be right, Matt Rose.
What is Matt's?
I don't know. I just like picking on Matt Rose.
Sweater weather.
Sweater.
Yeah, it's actually not
Yes, that's
that
it. Man, Matt Rose has been getting absolutely
bad.
just grilled on this podcast. Because Marcus or Jackson, one of them said that's the one teammate you can't give the ox to. So,
Oh yeah, that's totally true.
when Matt Rose gets on the show one day, he's gonna have a lot to rectify.
He's keeping receipts.
Oh, Sebastian, go ahead. We'll wrap. What's the worst one on
I'm
your?
gonna have to agree with Matt Rose that sweater weather. Yeah.
All right, perfect. Favorite spot to eat around campus, and what are you guys ordering?
Everybody knows I always go to Fresh Kitchen, give me a little bowl. I do white rice. I'll usually potatoes and I'll go steak and I'll add the chicken tenders on the side. It's my go-to. Had it for dinner tonight. Probably get that 4 or 5 times a week for sure.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of basic. I'm a big Chipotle guy. I go a little bowl too, like white rice, chicken, double chicken, queso, a little bit of hot sauce, cheese, lettuce, all good stuff.
No guac?
Then chips. Nah, well, sometimes, but they like to charge.
Yeah, true
But
that.
I gotta dip the chip in there too. I won't go fork. Gotta go like a full scoop chip in there.
Yeah. Another pro choice with the burrito balls is getting a couple of tortillas on the side when you take it
Oh
home,
yeah.
wrap them into burritos. You got dinner and lunch the next day.
Oh yeah.
Sebastian, you gotta be a six bowl, right? You're not a four bowl.
Honestly, I've been going with the three bowl, but I get the extra
Whoa.
protein on it because I feel like when I used to get the six bowl, but they put so much rice in it, I feel like they're giving me less protein.
I
So I
see.
started going with the three bowl, extra meat, and then I'll get a little Parmesan cheese on the top, and it's been perfect. So
Love it.
that's
Love
my
it.
go-to right now.
They just built one close to my house, so like I go there once a week probably. So
Yeah, because they have the one right by USF. It's less than 5 minutes away, so it's perfect.
that's awesome.
So next question is growing up in Tampa, what is your favorite Tampa Bay sports team and also your favorite Tampa Bay sports memory for each team that you guys pick?
Yeah, I'm definitely a Rays fan, so they're my favorite team. Favorite memory, probably be the Bucks Super Bowl, honestly. That was a good year, so I'll go with that.
I'm gonna go with the Bolts, and big Lightning guy. It's a lot of fun to watch them. Going to hockey games is so fun, and been super cool to have a good hockey team in your town. So it's
Yeah.
been fun to cheer for them, and I'm gonna have to go with. I mean, the Bucks Super Bowl was awesome, but favorite Tampa sports memory was I was downtown for the second Stanley Cup. We were at Sparkman's Wharf watching the game on that big screen down there. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool to be in that atmosphere, and it was so much fun.
Is that when they were playing Dallas?
Think so,
That was the second one. That was the second one, Stanley Cup. Okay, yeah. I think I was at Sparkman Wharf then too. There was people like jumping.
Really?
Yeah, there was people like jumping in the water when after they won it, when they clinched game seven, when they or whatever game they won the
Yeah.
actual cup, there was people jumping in the water. Yeah, so
That was actually Bradke.
that wasn't me. I stayed dry.
I was working PGH then, and we would all hit Sparkman's after work because it was like Bucks and Bolts actually got a championship during the COVID era, you know. So there were limited places you could go out, and Sparkman's was one of them, you know. So it was a lot of fun for sure. But go Stars for sure. Moving on, we'll say next we'll ask, what player did you model your game after as a kid, or which player did you grow up idolizing?
I've always been a huge Cody Bellinger fan, so he's kind of the one I've modeled my game after, you know. He's always had that smooth left-handed swing, so I'd always watch him when I was younger and try to be like him.
He does have a smooth.
Oh, go ahead.
That's all.
I was a big Ian Kinsler fan as a kid. I liked watching him a lot. He was my
You're
favorite player for a
playing
while,
right
and
to John's heartstrings. He's a
I,
Rangers fan, so
yeah. There you go.
yeah, when he
But
went.
yeah, I had a signed picture of him up in my wall when I was a kid, so he was one of my favorite players, and I loved watching him.
Yeah, a little power stick from and playing second base. He was electric up the middle with Elvis Can Andrews, you know. Oh man, I have so much love for Ian Kinsler. So great answer there. We'll wrap up the questions with a fun one. It's a two-piece again. So which teammate would be the most likely you would set your sister up on a date with? And which teammate would be the least likely you would set your teammate or sister up on a date with, and why?
I'll set up my sister on a date with Jackson Mayo. He's a good guy. So I'm gonna go with Jackson. And who I wouldn't, I think I'm gonna have to go Anthony Quigley on that one. You know, he's a freshman, good dude. But I'm gonna have to go with him.
Expand a little
I don't think I can expand on that one, but feel like he'll find in his way. He's gonna be a really good player for USF one day, so be on the lookout for him.
Oh, I love that. All right, Bracky, go ahead.
I'm gonna stop the Matt Rose slander. I think I'd set Matt Rose on a set Ro Matt Rose up on a date with my sister.
All right.
Who I wouldn't? I was also gonna say Anthony Quigley. But I also no comment on the explaining on
No.
that one.
Oh gosh, I have so many questions, but we're just gonna keep it brick walls, and I appreciate y'all keeping it in the locker room.
That honestly might have to be our next podcast, is just a solo podcast with Anthony Quigley.
Curiosity
Man.
hit through the roof now, for sure.
Well, you know what we could do? We could do Quigley and Rose. They can get on here and defend
That's what I
themselves.
was thinking.
That would be hilarious.
That's all.
Nice.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah. Hey, before we kick it to the last segment, I just wanted to explore the two hobbies here for a second. Sebastian, if you said fishing,
Yeah.
I've heard through the grapevine that your brother is like a professional fisherman. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah, so funny story. And back in high school, me and him used to actually fish competitively. They have a high school fishing circuit in Florida, so me and him would fish together. We were really good. You know, he's better than me, but we actually, one year we were the Florida team of the year for high school fishing, so we were pretty much the best at it. And he's really good now. He's a professional bass fisherman, so he recently moved to North Carolina, so I don't get to fish as much, but every time he comes back home, we always hop on the boat. We'll go hit a couple local lakes around here. Every once in a while, we'll get to Kissimmee or Okeechobee and hop in, you know, just a little tournament for fun. So it's always good. But now that he left, you know, took the boat with him, so no boat anymore. So I've been able to just fish some local ponds with some buddies around here, just to do a little bass fishing every now and then. So it's been fun.
That's awesome. What makes a good fisherman, you think, like to be a pro? Obviously there's a lot to it,
Yeah,
but what's
I
like one or
mean,
two big things?
nowadays it's just being able to find the fish, you know, with the electronics and stuff they have. You know, these lakes are huge, so the guys that are the best at using the electronics usually do the best. And they even have this thing now, it's called LiveScope. You can see the fish in front of your boat, so you can see exactly where the fish are and be able to cast right up to them. It's crazy, because when we fish, we never had any of that. But I've been out with him a couple times. You can It's like a screen, and you can see right on it. It'd be like there's a fish 50 feet out to the right, and you can cast right on them, and more times than not you catch them. So it's incredible how much the technology has evolved, even for something like fishing.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And Bracky, I wanted to ask you about golf. That's one of my main sports growing up. How often do you get to play? Maybe more so in the off season. And what's your best round? Like, what's your handicap? Give me some idea for your golf abilities.
Well, so as a kid, I played a lot, and I used to play in some tournaments with James Hill, actually. We played a 2-man scramble tournaments when we were like, geez, I don't know, like 9 to 11 or so, maybe even a little younger. I don't know. We've been doing that for a while, but stopped playing forever, and honestly started picking it back up like 5 months ago, something like that, like maybe through the fall. So I wasn't very good, but now I'm getting better. Let me think. I've flirted with 80 about 4 times. And I haven't got to break it yet.
That's pretty good, man.
So I'm looking for that 79 coming up soon. But I've shot an 80 about like 4 or 5 times.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
You're a
So
pretty quick
let me get.
study.
Yeah, I don't. I impress myself. I'm getting there.
Hey, I know your dad's a good
It's.
player. We've seen him at the games. We've talked to him. I know he's a big golfer. You
Yeah,
ever
he can
golf with
play
him?
a couple times, but it's pretty humbling, especially when I think I'm getting good and he just goes out there whoops on me pretty good. But yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
It's fun to play with him, and he teaches me a bunch of stuff too, and I've gone on the range with him a couple times. It's been fun.
Nice. You have a
Yeah.
favorite PGA Tour pro, or who do you think is going to win the Masters this week?
I don't know. Growing up, I was always a big Ricky Fowler guy. Liked him a
Oh, yeah,
lot.
I like that.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, he's
Weekend
fun.
prediction, though? I don't know.
I have a hard time predicting golf tournaments too. I feel like it's always
Yeah,
just
it's.
a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But.
I feel that.
Don't
Ricky's
know.
a good pool though. I like that.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
For sure. Nice. We'll kick it to the last segment here, just wrapping up. Before I let you guys go, y'all have any final message for Bulls fans? What is their support and coming out to games and just anything, how does it help you guys? Any message you want to send to the fan base?
Yeah, I mean, their support this year has just been incredible. You know, we feed off that crowd energy, so it's been awesome. There's been a ton of games. I look up in the stands and I mean, it's been packed, so it's been incredible just to see that this year. So that's awesome, and we appreciate your guys' support.
Yeah, I
Absolutely.
mean, pretty much the same. It's been awesome to see how much support we have out there. And I mean, we're also grateful just to have a fan base like we do. And I mean, yeah, it's incredible knowing there's a stadium of people that have your back and want to see you win and succeed. And it's a really comforting feeling just to know that people are up there cheering for us. So again, just thank you to everyone who comes out, everyone who watches from home, just anyone who supports us in general.
Really cool. Awesome, guys. Well, I really appreciate both of y'all joining. I know John and Matt really do as well. We're going to be watching closely as you guys are going to be in Houston this weekend. Assuming the flight's coming up pretty soon. When are y'all leaving?
I think it's
I
I
think the
know
bus
I think
leaves
the
at
bus
9 tomorrow.
leaves.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. All right. Cool, man. So,
Hopefully
yeah.
your guys' travel won't be like your trip back
But
from
let's
Memphis
hope.
this
Let's
past week.
hope.
That was crazy.
Yeah, hopefully we never do that again.
How was Atlanta real quick?
Oh, it was crazy. There were a million people in that airport just sleeping on the ground, walking around, because there's nothing open. Like, none of the restaurants or anything are open either. So, I mean, there's just a bunch of people just kind of out there killing time. It was just a weird sight to see at 1 in the morning.
I would say if I had to pick one airport I would not want to be stuck in, I would probably say Atlanta, just because how like from terminal to another, it's just absolutely insane to get from one place to another. But glad you guys made it back in one piece and ready to go for the next series.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Big thanks to Brad Keylori and Sebastian Greco. And Bulls fans, make sure to catch the guys live on ESPN Plus this weekend as they will be in Houston, Texas to take on Rice. Thank you everybody for listening. We will see you all next time. Go Bulls.